Hi, Kara, and Anna, and Samantha, and Dylan. Glad you're here. Are there ways that we can talk other than with words from our mouth? Sign language, yes, very good, very good. Does the way we hold our body, does that tell people things? Does this tell people something different than this? Kind of signals something different, doesn't it? Doesn't it? If you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, what do you do? Yes, Kara. Put your hand over your heart. What do you think that might mean? Anybody guess? Anybody guess? The grown-ups don't know either. Anybody guess?
You love your country.
You love your country. That's a very good explanation that from your heart you love your country. You're dedicating your heart to your country. If you're in the army, And somebody who's a lot more important than you walks by, what are you supposed to do? Does anybody know? That's right, Kara. We salute, don't we? We salute to show our respect and our honor. And when we pray, there's different ways that we can pray. We can tuck our heads under and put our hands together. We can, maybe you lay in your bed at night and you pray with your eyes closed. And some people pray like this. They look up to God and they hold out their arms because they know that God is listening and they're waiting for God's answer. And some people pray on their knees. And they bow their heads or they fold their hands or they do this, but they're on their knees to show God even more respect and honor. So one of the things that we can think about is trying different ways to see if it feels different. If you normally say your prayers after you're laying in your bed at night, maybe you can try to be on your knees by your bed and say your prayers before you go to bed. When you pray for your family and you thank God for everything, you can try being on your knees. See if it feels any different. And that goes for grown-ups too. And if you can't be on your knees, think about some way to be lower or to change your posture, to think about new ways to be open to what God has in mind, new ways that you can show God your respect. So anybody have anything else they want to share? Mr. Bill and Mrs. Collar have plans for you today. There she is back there. So let's say a prayer, and I have some new cool Band-Aids over there in the treat basket. Jesus, we thank you for these children. We ask you to watch over all the children around the world, help their families, their teachers, and all who watch over them. We ask that you lead us in your ways and teach us how to talk to you, how to listen for you every single day. Amen.
Oh,
The ushers handed you a reminder stick. And what we're doing through Lent is we're handing out reminders each week. If you wish to try a different faith practice or expand your own, you can try this for a week. This week our assignment is to read Matthew 5 and 6. It's not too long and it has a lot of really interesting teachings from Jesus in it. And if you're one of those people that I can't remember where I put my Bible, the ushers have some copies back there, a one-page handout that's got both chapters on it. So ask them after worship and they will hand you a one-page handout that has Matthew 5 and 6 on it. You might read it once. You might try reading it every day. You might try reading parts of it each day. And think about it. And I would love to discuss it with you. If you have questions or you have, I never knew he said that, I would love to discuss it with you. So that's your practice should you accept it this week. Let us pray. O God, our God, change agent, creator, provider, we come to you. We seek your face. We yearn for your presence. We come to praise and give thanks. We offer our lives, open hearts, and willing hands. Change us. Transform us. Make us shine like the sun. Jesus, teacher, redeemer, take us with you. As you travel up and down mountains, as you reach out to the lost and broken, show us how. Help us multiply your love. Help us spread your healing. Help us find justice, give mercy, and make peace. Holy Spirit, guide us. Bring comfort to the weeping, wholeness to the hurting, and joy to the hopeless. Strengthen us. Make us faithful. Make us yours. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And from the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Here ends the reading from Mark 9. My message this day is time to tell. Leave it to Peter. When he does not know what to say, he says it anyway. Peter, James, and John went up a mountain with Jesus. Not only did Jesus suddenly glow bright white, the patriarch Moses and the powerful prophet Elijah appeared and spoke with the boss. Beyond breathtaking, beyond startling, this scene is mind-blowing. Peter did not know what to say. So He suggested building dwellings for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. This was not the worst thing to say there on a mountain with these great teachers. At least Peter was hospitable, right? He was offering to provide for them. But like many extroverts, Peter's first suggestion was disposable. The first thing that came to mind came out the mouth. It was not a thoughtful plan. What was this mountaintop visit? Was this a consultation? Was Jesus getting advice from the fellows who had already been there, done that? If so, he was surely getting diverse opinions. Moses, the law, must have been very patient. Moses was the man who hid out for years, quietly herding sheep. Moses was the man who most reluctantly took on the leadership mantle to free the Hebrews in Egypt, to wander 40 years with them in the desert. Whereas Elijah was more temperamental, scorching several army units of 50 men each by calling fire down from heaven. Both men were obedient followers who spoke directly with the Holy One. Then after this mountain visit, the time Jesus spent with Moses and Elijah, the Savior and his disciples were surrounded by a cloud, where they heard the affirmation, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Does this episode remind us of other holy encounters? After Moses consulted God on Mount Sinai, his face glowed so much it scared people. He had to wear a veil to talk to them. Once when Elijah was waiting to hear God's voice, the Lord spoke on a mountain, not in the whirlwind, in the storm, but in the silence. And when Jesus was baptized, those all around him heard, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased." Have you heard the term mountaintop experience? A mountaintop experience is an ultimate encounter, meeting Jesus. A conversation with a long-revered leader, a life-changing near-death event, a lesson that sears to the core and alters one's attitudes and plans. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, Peter, James, and John had mountaintop experiences that shaped their paths. They heard or saw something on the mountain that changed everything. Now, what was Peter's wrong idea high up on the mountain? Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. This is the place. Let us build you tents or shelters." Why do we build tents? We plan to stay there at least a night, maybe for them as long as the flocks find good grazing. We plan to stay in this great spot. Perhaps you have had a mountaintop experience. Maybe you had a class with the world-renowned expert in your field and you never, ever wanted to graduate, never wanted to leave that rich spot at his feet. However, if you had built a house there, if you had planted yourself in his shadow, what would have happened? Nothing, right? You were sent to learn, to absorb all he had to say, yes? Then your task was to share the wealth. You went to the teacher of all teachers to hear her wisdom, hear her take on your students. Next, your job was to go back and teach students, maybe even teach teachers. Your assignment was to bring the mountaintop to the people. Allow it to change you. Allow the vision, the encounter, to make you the most fearless, wise, and revolutionary boss, coach, father, teacher, or speaker on the planet. Share the wealth, the wisdom. Up there in the crisp mountain air, we want to stay. wallow in the heady experience of having all the answers, knowing what's what. Goodness, we do not want to build a tent, but a sturdy log cabin. We want to stay near that wizard, that scholar, forever. If she has all the answers and teaches in a way we finally see all clearly, why go down? Why go back to the real world where the newspaper lands on the roof and your child talks back and your methods flop and the bottom line looks awfully red? When you go camping, you pitch a tent. And tents are trade-offs. How much comfort and protection versus how hard it is to carry and how hard it is to set up. Are you carrying it in your backpack or are you carrying it in your car? Can you make do with one pot over an open fire with firewood that you can gather? Or should you borrow that Coleman stove and have to haul it out and get it to work and figure out how all the buttons work and all that stuff? You found that pristine, private spot up high where you can see the views over the lake and the forest. What a view! Now, do you start nailing shingles to the roof and caulk the doorway? Do you haul gravel in to fix the path that goes out to the outhouse you've built? Or is this a tent? Is this a tent? And what does that mean? Doing all that shingling and insulating the roof, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? We are not meant to stay there, where the eagle hides her young and the snow falls early. The mountaintop is to be a restorative night, a weekend of renewal. Just as Moses went up the mountain to bring down teachings for the people, we have work to do in the valley. Just as Elijah rested and was fed by angels before hearing God's new orders, we have work waiting for us. God has plans, dreams, and tasks for us to tackle. In the time of Lent, each Sunday is a tiny break. In a time of darkness and repentance, every Sunday is what scholars call a little Easter. We come to worship God, give thanks, and sing praise. We come to hear the word of the Lord opened and taught. We come to listen to Him. We come to be hugged and fed and renewed. We come to the mountain not to stay. We come to be nourished and challenged in order to face our work with new energy and insight. The hungry, the hurting, the lost, and the questioning, they're out there. They ache for a sign of a gentle, forgiving Creator. They hope there might be justice and plenty and peace somewhere. We know where. We have heard about the God brave enough to walk among us as a human named Jesus. Listen to Him. We have listened. We've learned about Him all our lives, mountaintop after mountaintop. We worship Him every week before He sends us back down. Back then, it was a big secret. Now Jesus wants us to tell. Tell the story of how He changed your life. Tell the stories that made you cry. Tell all the lessons you learned on the mountain. Tell it in words. More importantly, tell the stories with your life. Be loving, forgiving, and compassionate. Let your coworkers see you turn the other cheek. Let the other ladies see you welcome the stranger. Let your buddies see you love your enemies. Let your family see where you stash your treasure, your budget priorities. Let your children feel unconditional love. Blessed by time on the mountain with Jesus the Christ, we are sent down and out to a world that needs Him. On the mountain, we were thrilled and renewed, filled with light, surprise, and freshly washed hope. It's time to go out now. It's a priceless story, and it is time to tell. Amen. You've been fed on the mountaintop. Now is your time to go into the world and spread the good news. Go in peace.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Good.